وعذرنا إلى الله أن الله بصير بالعباد. أستغفر الله أستغفر الله وعسى الله التوبة. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المحيمن العبيد الجبار المتكبر. سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق الباري المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين عبد القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله في العالمين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. قال الحكيم في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Respected believers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us all of His bounties and blessings upon all of you. Iblis, Shayateen, who are our enemies, and already they have decided to deviate believers from the right path. So this is contest, this is battle among believers and shayateen. What we need to be more careful, to be more conscious, to be more active, to get awakened and not to be lazy and not to be ghafil from traps and attacks of our enemies. This hadith has been narrated in different books of hadith, Shia and Sunni resources, and also narrated in the Bukhari. And narrator is Abdullah bin Umar. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said twice, O Allah, give barakah and blessings in Yemen and also reveal blessings and barakah in Sham. Then some of the companion, they requested, Ya Rasulullah, also do dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should also send the same barakat and blessing in Najd. When companion requested Prophet should do dua for Najd as well, then Prophet said, Najd is place of earthquakes, Najd this place of corruptions and fitna and fasad, and I am observing the horn of shaitan will arise from Najd. And This was hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And there are different interpretation of this horn of shaitan, horn of iblis, that will arise from net. Just different animals who are having horns, مختلف جانور جن کے سینگ ہوتے ہیں. So many animals with the help of horns, when they are attacking animals and human being as well, so they can kill other animals also, they can kill to mankind or different people who are in front of them. So this is just if an animal is having horn. But the real interpretation of that hadith is that horn of shaitan which was going to arise, and Prophet was facing towards east, towards Najd, and he pointed towards Najd that from Najd the horn of shaitan will rise. The practical interpretation of that hadith, when movement of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, who was also founder of Wahhabiyyat, with collaboration of Abdul Aziz bin Saud and their forces, when they got success and they demolished Jannatul Baqi and Jannatul Mawla in Makkah and Medina, they were also going to demolish the shrine of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. When Muslims around the world, they heard they are going to demolish the shrine of Rasulullah, so then Muslims protested throughout the world, and that made them stop to demolish the shrine of Rasulullah. But these people, when they demolished Jannatul Baqi and they wanted to demolish shrine of Rasulullah, at that time they were insulting the grave of Rasulullah, they were hitting with hands and they were also hitting with their shoes, na'udhubillah, the shrine of Rasulullah, the grave of Rasulullah. And what they were saying at that time, they were saying, O Muhammad, qum, qum, stand up. Anta qulta najdu karnu shaitan. O Muhammad, stand up now, because you said, from Najd, the horn of shaitan will arise, and today we are the people of Najd. You inserted us, and today we have occupied all of the territory you had. So actually the practical interpretation of Rasulullah, these Wahhabis, these Salafis, they knew what was the meaning of Rasulullah. And when they were insulting the grave of Rasulullah, they were also warning and they were saying to Rasulullah, O Muhammad, stand up today. Stand up today and see we have occupied your territory and your state. Salawat. So as shaitan, as iblis is our enemy, we need to be more careful, because according to Quran, this shaitan, this shayateen could be among jinnat or could be among human being. As Quran says, min al jinnati wal nas, the people are also followers of shayateen, they are also helper and supporter of shayateen. So that's why this firqa, this sect, whenever they occupied the territory of Hijaz. At that time they announced, only those who are Wahhabis, only those who are Salafi, only those who are their followers, they are Muslim, and all others who are not Wahhabis, they are kafir, they are mushrik, whether they are alive now, whether they have been passed away. So those Muslimin from the time of Rasulullah until the time of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, so all Muslimin who were not following the aqaid and theology of Wahhabiyyah, they declared they are non-Muslims. And all other Muslims who were living at that time throughout the world, they said they are non-Muslim until and unless they are Wahhabis. So this firqa, who was follower of Iblis, who was follower of Shaitan, what did they say? Anyone who is not Wahhabi, so Wahhabis are allowed to kill them. That's why in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Bahrain, in Saudi Arabia, now you can see anyone who is not Wahhabi, so they are killing them. They are killing because anyone who is Muslim, so the property of other Muslim, the personality of other Muslim, the family of other Muslim, so that is respected as the right of one Muslim to the other Muslim. But as they are not considering anybody else as Muslim except and unless someone is Wahhabi, they are not accepting anybody as Muslim. So that's why the properties and the family and the people and the lives of Muslim, they are announcing and saying, and practically wherever is possible for them, they are killing all other Muslims who are not Wahhabis. And the summary of their aqaid and theology, what they are following, according to them, their God has body. God has hands and feet and different organs. So this is the God of Wahhabiyyat. Number two, anyone who is not Wahhabi, so they are considering that person as kafir or mushrik, and killing that person is allowed according to them. Number three, they do not believe to have any symbol and sign of grave for anyone, especially they believe the shrine of Prophet and shrine of Aima Tahar alayhi salam and the companion of the Prophet, who was symbol of foundation of Islam in the world, so they believe that these shrines must be demolished. And number four, according to them, it is haram to visit shrine of Rasulullah and either Aima Tahar alayhi salam or the graves of anyone. Visiting grave of anyone, even when these days people are going to do Hajj, so they are given different kind of literature, and one thing which is also written in that literature, they are telling the pilgrims, if you are going Medina to do Ziyarat of Rasulullah, that is haram. But you can go in Medina to visit Masjid Nabawi. If you are going with this niyat, then that is okay. Otherwise, those people who are going to visit Rasulullah and doing Ziyarat of Rasulullah, if their intention is to go Medina with this intention, then that is haram. So, according to Hadith of Rasulullah, a day will come when the horn of Shaitan will come from Najd, and that is in the form of this sect. So we must be careful from the followers of Wahhabiyyat and Salafiyyat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد بديع السماوات والأرض ذا الجلال والإكرام رب الأرباب وإله كل مولود وخالق كل مخلوق ووارث كل شيء ليس كمثله شيء وهو بكل شيء محيط. أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد المتواحد الفرد المتفرد، وأنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الكريم المتكرم العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى علي بن أبي طالب أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى محمد بن علي وعلى جعفر بن محمد وعلى موسى بن جعفر وعلى علي بن موسى وعلى محمد بن علي وعلى علي بن محمد وعلى حسن بن علي وعلى الخلف القائم المنتظر المحضي
اللهم صل على محمد
إنه يرانا بعيدا نراه قريبا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم افتح لي أبواب توبتك ورحمتك ورزقك الواسع إني إليك من الراغبين، وأتمم لي إنعامك إنك خير المنعمين. اللهم أجل بقية عمري في أداء فرض الجمعة والحج والعمرة ابتغاء وجهك يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
اللهم صل على محمد
محمد. أوصيكم بتقوى الله والناس بأمركم. This beautiful single for First Imam, for all of us, for the people, realize your importance and importance of your life and the time which has been given to you. Utilize properly your lifetime, organize your activities, but all this organization and activities must depend on piety. The ultimate goal for all Muslimin, for all believers, is to adopt the level of taqwa. So one important trait and virtue which could help us to adopt the level of taqwa, it is while we are living in this world, we are living with other human beings, we are living with mankind. So we must be kind towards mankind, towards our fellow sisters and brothers, whether in iman or in humanity. We have to support those who are oppressed, and we must try to stop the tyranny of zalimin. This saying of Hazrat Ali alayhi salam, he said, "Man jara qasura umruhu." Anyone who will do zulm, anyone who is zalim, anyone who will do zulm or jawr, or anyone who will become tyrant, qasura umruhu, actually he or she is decreasing his life. So zulm is equal to decreasing own life. So this zulm in different forms is in our societies. What we need as a believer, we should not be zalim. We should not do any kind of zulm upon us, upon other human being, in any form. In the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man akhadha lil mazlum min adh-dhalim," anyone who will help or who will protect a mazlum from oppression of a oppressor, kana ma'iya fil jannah tasahuban, So he will live with me in paradise. So just helping or supporting a Muslim, helping an oppressor against the tyrant, Prophet says, your level will be next to me in the paradise. Because the ultimate goal of taqwa is to get to paradise, to live with Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayhi wasalam. And supporting oppressors, supporting mazlumin against the tyrants. So that is also bringing you in the paradise next to the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first thing what we need, not to be zalim in any form, anywhere, at any time. Secondly, if we are observing there is happening any kind of zulm against anyone, if we can stop with power, with authority, we have to stop it. If not, at least we should raise our voice against that zulm. And the lowest level is, at least we have to hate from in our hearts. We develop hatred against that zulm in our hearts. So any kind of zulm we are observing, we need to have some kind of reaction. Maybe hatred in the heart, maybe expression of words, maybe stopping that tyranny and zulm if we can with the power, with the authority. Today, our sisters and brothers in different parts of the world, they are oppressed, especially the people of Bahrain. So alhamdulillah, majority of them, they are followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. But the people who are ruling them, who have occupied their territory, so they are not democratic people. So the West is supporter of democracy. So why not the West is rising up, standing up to support the people who are fighting for their freedom against the kings. Those rulers who are tyrant, those rulers who are kings. So the people of Bahrain, today they are fighting for their freedom. They are fighting for democracy. And today United States or United Kingdom or other European Union and other countries, and especially the people, if we will raise our voice, we will support them, inshallah, sooner or later, they will get freedom. As I gave you hadith, man jara qasura umruhu, anyone who is zalim, actually he is reducing his time, his life. So those kings who are tyrant, they are killing the people, innocent people, who are killing the little children, who are killing the ladies, who are working, who are in their houses. So it means they are reducing the time, the age of their rule, as well as their own lives. But today, as a Muslim, as believer, we have some duties. In this Bahrain, historically, the latest census and the population of Bahrain, that is around 1 million. And in 1980, that was half of that. And during the latest few years, the rulers were trying to bring Saudis to be inhabitant of Bahrain. In this way, they wanted to reduce the majority of followers of Ahlul Bayt with Wahhabis. So this was their plan. So this country, Bahrain, as I told you, the total population is around 1 million in 2010. And the area, the total area, that is 34 square miles in width. And 290 square miles, that is. But all together, this Bahrain is not one island. There are 33 islands. As as a whole, these 33 islands, they make this country and the capital of this country, that is Manama. Right now, this is constitutional monarchy, and the latest constitution was made in 1971. Historically, Bahrain was the part of Iran. And then for 80 years, Portuguese had control over this area. And after them, again, this Bahrain was under the control of Iranians. At the time of Sasani, kings of Iran, they had three southern districts. One of them was this Bahrain. The other two districts are right now the part of Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. One of those districts is Al-Hafuf, and the other district, that is Al-Katif. So this is the reason the majority who are living in Al-Katif or Al-Hafuf, this is the eastern part of Saudi Arabia. So majority of these people who are in Saudi Arabia, they are almost 2.5 million. So they are Shia. And the oil of Saudi Arabia is also from this part of Saudi Arabia. So historically, Al-Hafuf and Al-Katif and Bahrain were under the control of Iranian. After Iranian, especially in 18th century and 19th century, when after Safavids, Iranian became weaker in their kingdom, then north of Iran, some parts like Armenia, Azerbaijan, so that part of Caspian Sea was occupied by Russian forces, and the southern part of Iran, so that was occupied by British army. So after Portuguese, for a few years, again Bahrain was under the control of Iranian forces, and then this southern part or Persian Gulf, because there were a lot of oil, and British was also controlling subcontinent India and Pakistan, so they also moved towards this side, and they wanted to have control of and all transportation and communication of Persian Gulf in their hands. So that's why they also controlled this area of Bahrain. But when British armies are the soldiers they control at that time, they promoted a local family. Basically, they were burglars of Kuwait and Basra. And these were expelled by Ottoman Empire from that area towards Bahrain, this Al-Khalifa family. But this Al-Khalifa family, with their agreement with the British army, they were able to establish their rule in Bahrain. And then this rule was continued until 1797. And then in 1820, Al-Khalifa rule was active, and they signed a treaty with Britain, and their rule continued, but there was always conflict between Al-Khalifa and British rule and the Iranian rule, and complaint was registered in United Nations. Ultimately, in 1970, so this Bahrain became free from British rule. British government and Iranian government both accepted the freedom of Bahrain
And in this way, Bahrain got freedom from British rule in 1971. So then they had the constitution, and according to the constitution, they had two houses, and both houses have 40 members. The lower house is the Chamber of Deputies, and 40 members of Chamber of Deputies are elected by the people. And in 1991, the ladies, a woman of Bahrain, were given the right of vote. Before that, they were not having any kind of right of vote. The higher house, that is Shura Council, and that is also has 40 members. The cabinet, which is ruling the Bahrain, 80% total member of ministers are 25. 80% ministers are from the royal family, Al Khalifa family. Right now, Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa is the king, and crown prince is his son Salman bin Hamad, and prime minister is son of Salman, Khalifa bin Salman. So these three key posts, king and crown prince and prime minister, are grandfather and father and the son. So this current movement, so mainly people are fighting for their democratic rights. They are saying, we don't need the kingdom, so there must be democracy. People should vote, whether Shia or Sunni, anyone who is inhabitant of Bahrain must have right of vote, and the people should elect their leadership. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. And we also need, as believers, to support them. And inshallah, tomorrow, a protest has been organized. Having protest in London is very important, because this Bahrain, almost for two centuries, was under the custody of British rule. And even these days, they are having special ties and special influence on Bahrain. So, any protest which will be in London, that will be very, very important in their help, in the support of people of Bahrain. At the same time, the international media will also pick up the protest from the people of England or London. So please, I request all of you, inshallah, 1 o'clock tomorrow, we will depart for London. So please come here, and we will go together. And those who are having seven seaters, bring them, so that we should go together. And inshallah, tomorrow, as already I announced, their program has been organized by Habnawa, that is mainly in the support of victim of flood in Pakistan and hospice here in UK. So that will start 4 o'clock in United Reformed Church, White Rose Lane. And coming Sunday, the following Sunday, Working People of Faith has organized a public meeting that will be in Shearwater Community Center, and a delicious food will be there, and food will be free. But we need, in last two programs from our community, there was very minimum representation. At least 20 people from our community must turn up over there, because one of the speakers is also from our community. When there is a speaker from our community and we are not there, so practically we are showing we are not having any interest. And the topic is the people of faith, they are deadly virus, are good for the community. So inshallah, you have to plan for next Sunday, the following Sunday, and tomorrow program as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar.